Go ahead and be opening up to Psalm 145. This might be our text for a few services, I don't know. These right now, it seems to me like the mind of the Lord is the Sunday night services especially are going to be more of a classroom setting. And we're going to be giving you some definitions and things that I think if you can make some notes. And I'll just tell you plain, I'm not verbatim, but a text I am using is one I've had for decades, and I think it's the best book besides the Bible on healing ever written, and it's Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. I recommend that book. You can get it at Amazon. I like everything on Kindle myself, and you can download it. Are you saying for free? Okay, for free. Okay. So just Google that, Christ the Healer, and you'll probably find the PDF or whatever. I like them on Kindle now because I can put Kindle on my phone, on my iPad, everywhere I go. If I get stuck in a line, if I get stuck in an airport or anywhere, bless God, I can read Dave's book. I've got Dave on my Kindle, and it's good to have. But I think that is one of the best books ever written, and by F.F. Bosworth. And I don't really want to have time to get into telling you who all he is. That's easy for you to research. But he's a product of another product that came out of the Azusa Street Revival and through Dowie's ministry and so forth. And just shook the world. Just shook the world. And I want to say this to you. When I was just looking around the room, and it's getting it good to fellowship and be with like-minded people. And that's nice. And I was looking around the room, and I felt like the Lord was saying, tell them they better enjoy it now. Because once this really gets activated and it really dawns on you and me that he's going to work through your hands to heal the sick, cast out devils, open blind eyes, the maimed to be made whole, and that starts being activated through you, your life as you have known it is over. It really is. It really is. There's no more. And your life doesn't belong to you. You're his servant. You're his servant. See? Amen? So enjoy it. And it won't be just services here. Listen. Really, Mark 16, where you lay hands on the sick, that's not really talking about a church service. That's talking about us going out just like he did. It would be like the commander if Jesus come up to us and said, go to Sepulpa and heal the sick that are therein. Okay, and that's it. Just go and heal them. Then preach the gospel. Listen to how quiet it is in here. That's his method. That's his method. That's how he sent the 12. That's how he sent the 70. That's how he's going to send us. Didn't he not tell them, I want you to go train them? Tell them everything I taught you. That's coming. All right. Define Psalms 145. And we're going to look at, it's a long psalm. It's all good. But if we get into the whole thing, that'll take up the whole service. But I want to focus on the Lord's compassion tonight. We're going to start talking about the Lord's compassion. So look at verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious. He has a little bit of compassion. Is that what your Bible says? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Slow to anger. I mean, he's real thankful about that right there. Slow to anger. And notice, and of great mercy. Great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies. Like as if mercy wasn't good enough, the Holy Spirit added tender mercies are over all his works. When I read that passage, let me put you in remembrance. I'm always remember the lesson we did recently in out of Luke 11. You don't need to turn there. But that's where the disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray so they could have results that they saw him have. after he would go spend time in prayer. Teach us to pray like that. So he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. But then he starts speaking that parable. Which of you have a friend come at midnight? You got no bread to serve your friend. So this is not about your need. This is about the need of your friend. This is putting on your minister's hat, and now you're going to deliver bread to somebody else. Remember, healing is the children's bread. Well, now it's for all the whole world. But anyway, see, the world thinks that God is like that man behind the door who has the bread, doesn't care about you, doesn't care about your friend. He only cares that you're bothering him. But because you won't quit, you just keep pounding on the door, and I'm not leaving. And I've heard all kinds of messages like that growing up. You got to storm the gates of heaven. And they draw this picture like God's sitting by in a big castle in heaven with the drawbridge raised, and you've got to storm the gates of heaven to you. Finally, you convince God, and he'll throw a little biscuit over the wall for you. He's got all this bread, but you storm the gates. Okay, here's a biscuit that ought to be good enough for you. See, and Jesus was telling them, he's saying, if you want to have results like I have, your whole concept of your God has to change. He is not like that guy at all. He's telling us who our Father is. He is full of compassion. He loves the guy with no bread more than you love the guy with no bread. He wants to heal the sick more than we want him to heal the sick. That's what he was saying. And he's going, he is not like that guy at all. You have to understand, if you knock, the door will be open. If you seek him, he's not going to hide from you. You'll find him. And if you ask, he'll give you the Holy Spirit to manifest whatever it is you're asking for. See, we got to change who we think our Father is. Our Lord is full. Look at this again. The Lord is gracious. That's who he is. He's gracious. He's full of compassion. Not a little bit. He's full of compassion. He's slow to anger. See, and I love mercy. I'll just tell you right now, I love the word mercy. You know why? I need a bunch of it. See, mercy is when you did it. Reward is when you know, but mercy is when you did it, and you should have judgment, you should have punishment, but you get mercy instead. Oh God, I love mercy. You know, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. See, and the Lord, he's good to all. See, the other one, that was Luke 11, Luke 18. I think of that one too. And when the Lord says, when the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? And he starts talking about this little widow woman. And she went to this judge. And she had a grievance of some kind. And the judge, see, here again, religion and circumstances paints this picture of God as being this unjust judge. It says he didn't care about her, didn't care about man. He didn't care at all, but, you know, just because this woman wearies me, I guess I'll give her what she wants. But Jesus said, I say unto you, your Father will avenge his own children. Remember the word? What's the word? Speedily. Our God is not like that unjust judge. I'll tell you, if there is such a thing as an unjust judge, I'll tell you where it is. It's your own soul. It's your only, that's a dude you got to convince that you're worthy to receive his mercy. If you want to know the truth of it. But that's another lesson. That's at the website called The Unjust Judge. All right. But now, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great, oh, I love it, great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The image I get there, see, in my 70 years, I've been to a doctor a few times. I've had to have a bandage, and I've had doctors and nurses with good bedside manner, and I've had some with not so good bedside manner. Some of them, it's like, you know, ow, oh, ow, and they're putting that, you know, there you go. And the bandage is fine, but it wasn't with tender mercy. It might have been mercy, but it wasn't tender. You know, but I like the ones that really are tender and caring, and that's what the picture that the Hebrew is drawing here. It's not just mercy when God comes to take care of you. It's tender mercy. Tender mercy. He loves you. So you ready? Do like this. We're going to do some Bible drill now. You ready? All right. Well, now I got to do it this way on the glass, right? Tap, 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 tap. Anyway. Okay. Let's go to Matthew 14:14. You can go ahead and put a finger over in Mark chapter 1. I told you. We're just getting started, too. Gary, when are you going to stop about healing? When we're operating in it. And not before. Because that is revival. That is the dinner bell. Amen? So, just to show you now, Mark 14:14. Well, no, I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Thank you. You're good students. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. What happened when he was moved with compassion? He healed their sick. Now, again, Jesus is the Father with legs. Jesus is the visible. He's the God we can see. He is the manifestation of the invisible God. He says, you want to see the Father? Look at me. So to me, this is the manifestation that we can see of what the psalmist talked about in the Old Testament. Can't see God in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we see Jesus. And he was moved with compassion. So you might as well say, well, the Father was moved with compassion. Because Jesus said, it's not me doing the works. It's the Father in me doing the works. So say it with me. Say, my Father is full of compassion. He is full of mercy. And his tender mercies are over me. Amen? Amen? Okay. All right, now let's go to Mark chapter 1. And really, this is the only place that I can find in the New Testament where somebody wasn't sure about his will to heal. This fellow knew that he could, had the power to do it. And see, that's very often what hinders people from receiving. Well, I know he could heal me. Just don't know if he will heal me. See? But Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40, there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him. Now here it is. If thou wilt, that's old King James, just simply means if you want to. If you're willing. I know that if you will, thou canst make me clean. So this fellow was not doubting his can do. He was doubting his will do. Got it? And Jesus, here it is again, moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. See, again, in me, so opposite of that unjust judge who didn't give a rip about that woman. So opposite of that guy that had the door shut and had plenty of bread but didn't care whether you starved or your friend starved. Our Father is not like either one of those. Man, when that leper come up, our Father, manifesting through Jesus, was moved with compassion. And he put forth his hand and touched him, which, by the way, was illegal. Illegal to do under the Jewish law. And saith unto him, I love these two words, I will. And every time you ask for healing, you're going to hear the same thing. I will. I will. Say it with me. Every time that I need healing, if I asked the Lord for healing, he is full of compassion toward me. And the only thing I hear is, I will. Amen. See? Then he says, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now, I could go on. I just picked two, just two of them. Hello? We got a helicopter or something going on. I just picked two just to show the Lord was moved with compassion. You already know there's many, many more verses that I could have picked. And we could take the whole evening just looking at all of those. But see, go to John 16:7 now. I remember there was a season here at the prayer center where Dave really had, I mean, Dave has helped me a lot, but this verse was giving me trouble. It's John 16:7. See, because you can go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You see him healing thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Man, I wonder how long were some of those services, you know? Thousands of them that he healed. And everything, missing legs growing out. I mean, dear Lord, you know? But then he says this, John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. And expedient means better. It's better for you that I go away. And at the time when this was really going off in me, I had an aunt who was dying of brain cancer. And she was raised in a certain denomination that believes God can heal, but you can never know if he will heal. See? And I was talking with Dave. I was going, Dave, how can the Lord say it's better that he go away? If he was here, even if I had to get in a 2-year waiting line, if she'd last that long, if I could get in a line and get my Aunt Betty to him, I know she'd be healed. So how in the world can he say it's better for us that he be gone? And of course, in that same, you have to back up two chapters into 14, but he says, the works that I do, shall you do also. And greater than these shall you do. He didn't intend for his healing ministry to end when he lived. It's better because his healing ministry was to be multiplied through all the believers around the whole world. But that's not what we've been taught, the church at large. That's not what's common knowledge today. That's what was taught then. He said, it's better for you that I go away. Because, and Dave was telling me, he says, well, Gary, he says, if Jesus was still here and had an office in Jerusalem somewhere, and how many millions and billions of sick people are there on planet Earth, you know? Says, take a number? Are you kidding? I took a number. What is your number? 1,387,297, whatever. Yeah, I'll get to see him in 7 years. Trouble is, the doctor gave me 6 months. See, that's why it wouldn't work. It won't work. No. It has to, he wanted his ministry to be multiplied. And we have the image of it. First he sent the 12, then he sent the 70, but now his intention is to send millions. Millions of us. Believers, those that believe shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's where we're going. Amen? I say amen whether you believe it or not. Amen. All right. Now, one of the reasons that it's better for him, now, to go over to Hebrews, better for him, that it's better for us, expedient, go to Hebrews chapter 2. And look at verse 17. Hebrews 2:17. Because we're going to see this word compassionate again right here. You remember when Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it? And he said it twice. When Jesus says the same thing in two consecutive verses, he's trying to get a point across. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Amen? Hebrews 2:17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a, now there's that word, a merciful, and that's also translated many places, compassionate. I'll give you the definition in a minute. A merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. We have a compassionate, merciful high priest who, by the way, was tempted in all points like we are. He understands you. He understands where you're coming from. And He is slow to anger and full of compassion. And His tender mercies are toward you. Amen? Now, the word translated merciful there is the, in Strong's, it's the number G1655. It is spelled E-L-E-E-M-O-N. And the definition is, means actively compassionate. Merciful. I like that, actively. Say, men tell their wives, I love you. Never take out the trash. Never help with the house. Never go to work and earn a paycheck. Never take her out to eat. I just empty words. I love you. It probably means anyway. Maybe they love what they can get from her. Let's say it that way. We're in church. See, that's not the kind of compassion. That's not the way our Lord is. No. See, when it says actively compassionate, He doesn't walk by the person in the wheelchair and have compassion on them and walk on by. No, His compassion is active. He will do something about it if He finds a people He can do it through. So it means actively compassionate, merciful. Now the root of that word is, see, that was E-L-E-E-M-O-N. But the root of that word is E-L-E-E-O. And it's the Strong's number G1653. This is the word you're going to find most of the time. If you look in the New Testament where Jesus was merciful or had mercy or compassionate, most of the time it's 1653. E-L-E-E-O. And it literally means to have compassion, to pity, to show mercy on. Okay? Now, Elio is translated both ways, mercy and compassion in the New Testament. Sometimes it's translated mercy, sometimes it's translated compassion. I got two examples. I could have filled up pages, but go to Matthew 17. These are close. I tried to find some where you wouldn't have to go all over the Bible. I've got two references here that are fairly close together for you. Matthew 17:15. This is when the man brought his lunatic son. And he says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. That's good enough. That have mercy, that's the word there, G1653. Okay? Now that same exact word, just go over one chapter, Matthew 18:33. This is where this one servant got forgiven a massive debt that he could never have repaid, but then he went out and choked another servant that owed him a little bit, and he threw him into prison. Then the king's getting on to him. In Matthew 18:33, it says, shouldest not thou also have had, see that word compassion? The same word, G1653, should thou not have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity. Where it says, had pity, same word, G1653. So I just want you to know, pity, compassion, and mercy are all the same word. And it means active compassion, not inactive. I like that active part. Got that? To have compassion, if you look it up in the dictionary, to have compassion is to love tenderly, to pity, to show mercy, to be full of eager yearning. I like that. Religion keeps drawing this picture of our God, our Father, like the guy, again, with locked doors, plenty of bread, it's after midnight, his kids are asleep. Don't bother me. I don't care about you, and I don't care about your friend. The truth of the matter is, God, our God, is eagerly yearning to give you everything you need and to manifest everything that other person needs as well. And to give you the Holy Spirit, by the way, He who creates everything, the molecule changer, says, oh, I'll just send the Holy Spirit with you to make sure you get what you need. And if it's not there, He'll make it. What do you think about that? That ought to get it done. If you and God the Holy Ghost goes off together, pretty sure that job is going to get done. Amen? Boy, I like that, see? He is eagerly yearning. And Jesus says, you want to have results like me? Your attitude about your Father has to change. He is not like you think He is. Religion has told you He's like that, and maybe circumstances has told you He's like that. I'm here to tell you, your Father is not like that. If you ask, He'll give. If you seek Him, you'll find Him. If you knock, the door will be open. I always have to think of my Lily Cake. She's the only little one I got. She's not so little anymore. She's 9. I don't care if I was in a high-powered executive meeting with a billionaire gospel entrepreneur like that one sitting right there. He and I are in a high-powered billionaire. I mean, we're talking, this decision is going to mean millions, you know. And we're right in the middle of negotiations. And someone says, Lily wants to see you for a minute. Hold up just a second. Just a moment. This billion-dollar decision will have to wait. Yes, honey, what is it? That's your Father. Towards you, you're His Lily Cakes. You are His Lily Cakes. He would stop the whole universe for you. The first message I ever preached in the prisons, I still remember it. I called it the Snicker Bar message. How many of you would go to the Quick Trip, you know, if you wanted a Snicker Bar? Y'all know, everyone knows. The reason I chose that, everyone knows what a Snicker is, right? And you go to been a long time. I need me one of them Snicker Bars. And you go into the grocery store, Quick Trip, or whatever. Hello, I'd like a Snicker Bar. And they pull it out, and it'll be $3,427. How many of you would pay that for a Snicker Bar? Why? You wouldn't, would you? Why? It's not worth that to you. But God the Father, He sent His only begotten Son. One place, the darling of heaven. How much are you worth? You're His Snicker Bar. And you're worth the price that He paid, or He would not have paid it. He wouldn't have paid it. And He's going to withhold healing from you? Come on. You think I withhold any good thing from Lily? Come on. Jesus says you've got to understand who your Father is. You've got to change your heart if you want to have results like I have. Well, we're changing it too. You're worth the price He paid. And He paid the biggest price anybody ever paid ever. You're worth it. Quit letting the devil tell you you're not. And He did it just with the hope you would believe. No guarantees at all. Just maybe one will believe. And I'll rescue one. Jesus Himself. Man, if you've ever seen the Passion of the Christ, and I bet it was even worse than that. Thank God He did a pretty good job. Oh, it's brutal, you know. My Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him. Don't you know you're that joy? All the ones that would be saved. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. He thought you were worth it too. We let the devil tell us lies. Oh, Alan's message this morning, I don't know if it resonated with you. Boy, it did with me. I'm so tired of that old devil and the old man trying to tell me who I am. I'm ready for God's Word to tell me who I am. Flesh, you can shut it. Devil, you can shut it. This is the truth. This is the truth. I made a few notes. See, there is no faith in knowing God can heal. There's no faith in that at all. Faith is knowing His eager yearning to heal. Nowhere does the Bible say God is power. It does say God has power. But nowhere does it say, it doesn't magnify His power like God is power. What does it magnify? God is love. God is love. God does have power, but that power flows through His love. Sometimes called compassion, sometimes called mercy. But it's love flowing through that compassion. His mercy, His compassion, His eager yearning to heal. See, as I've been a parent, raised three daughters, and now I'm a grandparent, and I love the grandparent. You're too busy making a living to really fully enjoy your children. You know, usually by the time the grandchildren come around, life has slowed a little, and have more time to enjoy them. So I think about, this is Steak Lily. She's the youngest one right now. It would break my heart for her to think that I could help her, but I wouldn't. I'd much rather her think that I couldn't help her than for her to think, well, I know Papa could help me, but I don't think he will. How we must break our father's heart. Because we have that attitude. We do now. That's going to change. And it is changing. Say, I believe the Father is exactly who the Word says He is. He is full of compassion, slow to anger. His tender mercies are over all His works. And He loves me. And He loves everyone I pray for. And He is moved with compassion. Active mercy that doesn't leave them the way they are. That's our Father. It's our Father. Go ahead and be going to Mark chapter 5. I didn't know if we'd get this far or not. I think we are. See, I know people right now. I know for a fact there's people right now that we don't have live streaming yet, but within a day or so they're going to be watching this by video on YouTube. And I know people that have Down syndrome children and other type things that are going to be watching this and listening. And I try and put myself in their shoes, you know. Well, what about my child? Will he? Yes, he will. Yes. He will. He's yearning to do it. And if we continue on this path, I'm telling you, we're going to get every obstacle out of the way. And he's going to be able to do it. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. So Mark chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 2. When they had sent, verse 30, excuse me, Mark chapter 5, verse 2. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs. Now, by the way, this is the country of the Gadarenes, okay? When they were come out of the ship, immediately there met him of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. That's fairly serious. Who's first in line to cast the devil out of this guy? You try and bind him with chains, and he breaks the chains. Rawr, you know. Fetters broken in pieces, and neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. So it wasn't really the man, was it? No, it's that spirit inside that guy. It's a devil. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000. Do you know how one human can have 2,000 devils? Now see, we have to think differently because we think in Newtonian physics. You know, we think according to the laws of this physical realm that we live in. I calculated one time. I said, if there's 2,000 devils in one average human, just a human guy. So one time, I did this years ago. I calculated it out. If we think geographical space in our Newtonian physics, okay? And if you get a pack, y'all ever pack, see those little dolls you have, you little wooden doll and you open it up and there's another doll inside and another doll inside. I don't know if they're like that. I calculated it out one time, 2,000 devils in a human. How big could they be? About 4 inches tall. Yeah, a little bitty, about 4 inches tall, 2,000 of them. You could stack them into one human. See, the thing of it is, they're not operating in the same realm. It's a different dimension. It is a different realm. It's the realm of the spirit. They manifest here. But there's 2,000 devils affecting this guy. No wonder he was so messed up. All right? Verse 14. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Boy, I could teach right there, but we don't have time. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. I wonder if it was the owners of the swine. You'd be messing with our business now. You know, I'd be messing with our business now. Okay? But isn't it what it says? They want him to leave. They want him to leave, see? You, please, we're asking you. Go. But when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil, he's going, well, he prayed that he might be with him. He's wanting to go with Jesus. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? But howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had what? Compassion. Even casting out devils is a manifestation of the Lord's compassion. He had compassion on him. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. Now that's a 10-city area. How great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, with that in mind, now, so get the picture. Jesus comes, casts out all these devils, 2,000 swine run down. I think it's the businessmen come, say, okay, we're going to ask you to leave now, you know. But that guy, he wanted to go with Jesus, and he says, I want you to be my witness here. I want you to go into this 10-city area, Decapolis, go into this 10-city area, and I want you to give your witness what the Lord has done for you. Now, let's see the fruit of that. Go to Matthew 15. This is when they come back there later, that same region, Decapolis. Matthew 15. Excuse me. Hope I've got this right. Yes. Well, then you have to back up to find out where they are. Go back up to verse 21. Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Well, that's that region. That's this area where Decapolis is. And they've come back. Now, we had the woman that had the devil. Her daughter was possessed with the devil, and Jesus helps her get healed. But I want you to notice now, look at verse 29. They had asked him to leave. And the man wanted to leave with him. He says, no, I want you to go and tell your witness. Go all through this region. Well, when Jesus departed from thence, he came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitudes wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, and the maimed to behold, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Religion tells you to glorify God in your sickness. My Bible says when they got healed, they glorified God. Your witness is important to tell what great things the Lord has done for you. But we're about to see these same things when the miracles begin breaking out. See, that guy that had 2,000 devils cast out of him, I bet religious people gave him all kinds of trouble. But see, when it happened to you, see, nobody can take that away from you. See, I'm one that gave me 6 months to live. We don't think you have but 6 months. With that melanoma cancer, that's been a long 6 months ago. And you can't take it away from me. When they told me that heart condition you have is incurable, you'll always have to take this medicine. But the Lord told me I was healed in May of 1998. That's been a long time since May of 1998. And I don't have any symptoms from that whatsoever. You came too late. You can't take away my testimony. And He can't take away yours either. Amen? The Lord is merciful, full of compassion. His tender mercies are over all His works. Hallelujah. All right, all right.